We're reading 1 Peter chapter 4, verse 7. But the end of all things is at hand. Be ye therefore sober-minded, and watch unto prayer. And above all things have fervent love among yourselves, for love shall cover the multitude of sins. Use hospitality one to another without grudging. As every man hath received the gift, even so minister the same one to another, as good stewards of the manifold grace of God. If any man speak, let him speak as the oracles of God. If any man minister, let him do it as of the ability which God giveth, that God in all things may be glorified through Jesus Christ, to whom be praise and dominion forever and ever. Amen. Our subject is spiritual stewardship this evening. And Peter says, as each one has received a gift, minister it to one another as good stewards of the manifold grace of God. Sometimes I need to read a passage like this to remind me some of the purposes of God. One of our brethren was praying, it's not the way that I think. Because as a human being, there's a part of me that can just think anyway. Oh, the evil that can be thought of when the flesh takes over. And the flesh is there. And so very often we find ourselves being controlled by what we want to do. I find myself fighting me with the help of the Lord and realize that the greatest battle that I have in this world is not with other Christians, it's not with the unsaved, but it's with this flesh. It's with me. And Paul says that I'm a new man in Christ. But he reminds me that the old man is always present. And he's present to cause me to do evil. One moment, my eye is taken off the Lord Jesus. That moment, I am ready to deny him like Peter. And I have the ability, through the flesh that is in me, to do what Peter did and to do more than Peter did. And so I am to be reminded of the good word of God, because it is the truth. It is the word of God that represents God's mind. It is the word of God that represents God's will. It is God's purposes. They are here foretold, and they are here to be revealed to me by the Spirit of God. If I am yielded, and if I am determined and willing by the grace of God to do what God wants me to do. It's important to notice the urgency with which Peter challenges his readers and challenges us concerning spiritual stewardship. That's the subject in these five verses. That is the challenge. It is spiritual stewardship. As we go through this, would you do what I've tried to tell myself to do? Not to think of any achievement that I have or any goals that I've set that I have accomplished. Because you might in your mind go back and say, but I'm a good steward. I give 10%. I look after the poor. And you might do that. You might do that, as well as you might not. Can I ask you, shelve it this evening? Let's look at what God says. And then let's ask ourselves at the end of our session, am I doing what God says? That's what I want to do. That's what I want God's Spirit to do. To ask me, And not let me forget what I have read this evening and what His Spirit is going to say to me this evening in regarding to the truth that is here. He says this, the end of all things is at hand. And so He says, it is urgent that you become a good steward. Christ is coming, He says. The days of earthly opportunity, they're about to come to an end. Those days are numbered. And so He says, God has given you certain gifts. Those gifts that God has given you, God has given you those gifts that they might be used to glorify Him. And so He says, be sober. It's one of the things He says. Sober-minded, He says. The mind. He says, let your mind be sober as you think and as you live and as you sojourn here in this world. Don't be hasty in your judgments. Don't be hasty in the things that you have to decide, in the things that you do. Decisions of major proportion and small ones as well that you have to make. Make sure it's the mind of God. Make sure it's going to glorify the Lord Jesus Christ. Don't have the mind of Samson. Samson's mind was a selfish mind. She pleaseth me well. That's the mind of the world. And it's so easy for us to have the mind of the world, to be influenced by the mind of the world. The apostle says, let this mind be in you, which was in Christ Jesus. That's the mind that I want to have. I don't have it all the time. Sometimes I'm thinking in with my own mind. Sometimes I'm thinking with the other part of me. I'm making decisions, and it's according to the flesh. And I know. The Word of God declares that anything that I do in the flesh, it will not glorify God. Not a single thing. Not anything. Don't care how I might try to justify it. It cannot please God. It cannot give me reward. This is why at the judgment seat of Christ, we're going to receive rewards for deeds done in the flesh. Deeds done while here on earth. And according to what we've done with the gifts that God has given us, we will be rewarded. But then the person who takes the gift and does nothing, the person who says, well, yeah, you say I have a gift, the Bible says that, I don't know what my gift is, and does nothing to discover what his gift is, that person will lose. You'll lose. You'll lose. You're going to heaven, beloved. If you're saved by the grace of God, you're going to heaven. And what you live for down here, beloved, if you live only for time and sense, you're going to leave it. You could be a rich man down here and be a pauper in heaven. You say, well, you can't. There are no paupers in heaven. I agree with that. We're all rich because we'll be in heaven, right? But you know what I mean. Even the things that we could have sent along. You know, we've got our hymnology that has somehow affected our theology. And all hymnology is not good theology. And sometimes the songs that some men write and we sing them joyfully, they really don't express the mind of God. They get us sometimes to believe that we're going to heaven and all those mansions are going to be waiting for us, because that's what Jesus is doing now, just preparing mansions for us. Yet Jesus is going to use what we send ahead. What we send ahead. That's what we're going to receive. That's what... Wouldn't you like to have a crown so big? Wouldn't you like to have received from Him something that is so precious that you can cast at His feet? Think of it, to be there and see it all burned up. To see most of your life burned up. And yet that's possible. It's possible with mine. And so He encourages them to use these gifts in light of the coming again of the Lord Jesus Christ. If His coming was near then, if Peter talked about His coming as being close, oh, how close it must be now. But if His coming is not close, as Some men say, I guarantee you, beloved, that one way or the other, opportunities will cease for us. Opportunities will cease for us. Because whether the Lord comes in our time, the Bible says that we have a limit on how long we live. He's given us 70 years. And then he says, if by reason God extends that time, right? That's up to God. That's up to the Lord if he wants to extend that time. But our time, our days are numbered. I was telling somebody just yesterday, when you get up where I am, I'm just approaching 56. Next Thursday. 56. And I say that to some of my brethren, like Brother Don and Brother Floyd Lowe in Abaco. He says, man, you're just a kid. Just a kid. But as I look ahead, I can see my days are short. I pause. I think about them now. I didn't think about it when I was 27. When I was my son Ryan's age, I never thought about that. But I look and I say, how many more days do I have to preach the gospel? How many more years do I have? And I look back too. Oh yes, I pause and I look back and I see a lot of wasted years. I see a lot of wasted time. I see a lot of wasted opportunities. And my prayer is, Lord, every opportunity that you put my way, let me buy it up. Let me use it so that when I get to heaven, I'll hear, well done, good and faithful servant. Enter into the joy of your Lord. And then at the judgment seat of Christ, to receive gold and silver and precious stones, because I've not done it because I want to gain, because I want to have a big bank account in heaven. But I've done it because he expects me, because he requires of me that I be a spiritual steward. Not just a steward. There are a lot of stewards around. But I am to be a spiritual steward. You see, the office of steward in Peter's day was to administer funds in regard to the man's master, the steward's master. He paid for all the maintenance of his household, took care of the servants, made sure the house was taken care of and kept up, and in a spiritual sense, as we apply it to ourselves, the household is the church of God. The household is the church of God. Not this physical building, but it's the church made up of the members, and that's what he's talking about here. He says we are responsible to him as good stewards. We are responsible to minister to others the gifts that God gives us. And I know that sometimes in an audience like this that we can have people who come along and as the preacher's preaching, they're saying, well, now I know for a long time that I don't have a gift. Stay tuned. You're going to be surprised. Because the Word of God declares that we all have a gift. Some may have more than others, but all of us have a gift. I don't know what it is, but I guarantee you some of us have natural ability. And there are certain things that can minister that God has endued us with. He has endowed us with. And the question is, God has given this high and holy responsibility. You might say it's a task. You might say it's a job. You might say it's a mission. You might say it's a ministry. The question I ask myself right now, as I ask everybody else, am I doing what God wants me to do? If the Lord was to call each of us home right now, can we sing as we're going to heaven, I've done my best for Jesus? Or will we sing the song that Elzer and I'm used to sing a whole lot, I wonder, I wonder. Right now, are we saying, I wonder? Have I done my best for Jesus when he has done his best for me? I can never think of him but think that he has done his best. He's done his best. This is my beloved Son in whom I am well pleased. Isn't that what we want to hear from the Master, from our Lord? Isn't that what we want to hear? Then if it is not, if we are not doing what we ought to do as a steward, if we have not done, if we look at ourselves and we see that we're weighed in the balance and found wanting, as we examine our lives this evening, it's something to think about. Because God may require me to adjust my lifestyle according. He may be saying to me, your lifestyle, the way you live, it's out of control. And you need to adjust that. In these verses before us, number one, there is the steward's spiritual endowment. His spiritual endowment. Here is the verse. As each one has received a gift. Now that is not guessing at it. I mean, that's the Word of God. You can underline that as I have in my Bible. You can highlight it. And let me tell you, beloved, you can't take that out. That's the Word of God. As each one. Not if each one. There's no if there, right? And I read it. I had to look back at it again. As each one. And I said, Luton Neely, you have received a gift, he says. Didn't say you received three, four, but he says a gift. And so if you thought you never had a gift, you have another thought coming. The term gift. It's very clear to me, and as we study this verse, that God, he says here, as each one has received a gift, minister it to one another as good stewards of the manifold grace of God. That's how I'm to minister it. This is not something that you just do if you want to. It's not something that you can guess at. But he tells us what to do. And he tells us what to do it with. How to do it. Do it as of the manifold grace of God. It's clear from that statement that there are two areas that I must consider. Number one, God apportions His grace, His gifts, and God will hold me accountable because of what He gives me. Those two areas. Apportioned and accountable. There are two points that I must make right here. Each one has received a gift. And so when we think of the word gift, I understand that it's represented by nine different words in the Greek. I'm not a Greek scholar. I understand that it has three shades of meaning. Number one, it means a present. Number two, it means an offering to God. Number three, it means a personal endowment. That is the one that I believe that he's talking about here. The personal endowment by God. This endowment, it came to us by the Holy Spirit. It's through God's Holy Spirit who gives to us at new birth, when we are saved, when we are born again. It isn't something that you can be sprinkled by the church or that it can be administered to you by the church. That is given to us, given to every believer. And God does it. And so whatever gift that you have received, you can't say, well, I just don't like that gift. Can't do that because God gives it to you. I can't say, I don't like the gift God gave me. I may not be obedient to God in fulfilling that gift, in ministering that gift. But I guarantee you that every gift that this local church needs is in the local church. Now, there are many who go out there and say, the way for that to be fulfilled is to have a pastor. And all the gifts cannot be in a pastor. They are in the church of Jesus Christ. And God gives them to a local church. Gives them to individuals. God gives individuals. He gave me to the local church. He gave you to the local church. God gave every one of us. You belong to this local church. You're a gift to the church. Even though you're not your own. Bought with a price, but you're still a gift to the church. The Lord Jesus Christ, even though that He has given to us these gifts, He also helps us to understand what our gift is. They are given to us without cost, freely. He never charges for anything. Whatever He's given to us, the whole package of salvation. And none of us have discovered, even though we may explore all the depths of the riches that are in Jesus Christ that have been given to us, there is no way, with our limited capacity, for us to understand all that God has given to us. He's given it to us freely. God is so rich. God is so mighty, so powerful. It's all available to us. Secondly, He has given it to us impartially. I remember Sunday evening, my saying to you about we don't have the ability to be impartial. That might have shocked you. But let me say it again. Only God can be perfectly impartial. Only God can be. And He gave it to us unconditionally. I mean, when God gives the gift, He doesn't consider, well, now, you know, John leans on my breast, and so when John's going to be born, I mean, even though He knows John's going to be His disciple, and He knows he's coming into the world, He doesn't do that. He doesn't do that. He does what He does for His glory. He does what He does for His glory, and He's God, and He's sovereign. And no one can question what He does. And He does it unconditionally. There are no conditions. The only one condition is to be saved, to be born again, to come into God's family. And He assigns it to every person. The sentence, the phrase here is this: the manifold grace of God. That's how He assigns it. He gives to us the manifold grace of God. Can you plumb the depths of the manifold grace of God? God has no favorites, I say it again. And the gifts He gives, they are varied gifts. Every one of us are different. And so He gives a gift that suits our person, who we are. I don't know who you are. I'm not an analyst. I'm not a psychiatrist or psychologist. I don't have those powers. Even they don't know. God knows me. And all the psychiatrists and psychologists and counselors in the world, put them all together, they cannot perfectly analyze you. But God can. God's the Creator. He made me. And so when He looks at me, He says, this is the gift I'm going to give you. He knew the moment I was going to say yes on that night in 1967 when my wife and I stood outside of here when Ed Allen was preaching and I couldn't take it any longer. And I said to my wife, tell Frank Perry, we'll meet him in the apartment. And the Holy Spirit knew, and God knew, and Jesus Christ knew. They knew that at that very the very moment, as I went back there, they knew the moment that I would say yes to Jesus Christ. And they knew what gift I was going to have. Hey, they knew a long time ago. God knows. Because He's God. The Lord Jesus Christ knows. The gifts are distributed. They're varied gifts. And yet every individual has a gift. We ought to earnestly seek to discover what our gift is. There will be no excuse for me or for anyone else when they stand at the judgment seat of Christ to say, I didn't know what my gift was. Now, some of us who have been on in years and elders and leaders and preachers and evangelists, we'll be held accountable if we do nothing to help you. If we do nothing to help you. But I guarantee you, you won't be excused. There'll be no excuse because you have the Word of God. Because these men, evangelists and pastors and teachers and preachers and others who are around you, they're available. That you can get help to discover what your gift is. You know, there are a lot of people who are afraid to discover what their gift is. They're afraid to discover what their gift is. They might discover that their gift is preaching. They might discover their gift is cleaning the chapel. Their gift, you know, because we pay for certain things, it doesn't mean that God hasn't given those gifts. God has given the gifts to the church. The preaching, that is not the most important one. The Word of God is important. But turning on the lights, working in the PA system, singing in the choir, leading the choir, teaching a Sunday school class. These are gifts given to us. God has given a gift. But there are others. There's the gift of help and encouragement. They're apportioned by God. And so everyone has a spiritual gift. What about the gift of praise? What about meeting somebody and telling them how well they did a job? Maybe how well they sang. Maybe just encouragement somebody gave a testimony. A job well done. Maybe that's all you need to say. The gift of praise. Maybe you have that gift. It's a rare gift today, but maybe you have it. What about the gift of consideration? Consideration, putting yourself in the other man's shoes and trying to understand his side of the case. Putting yourself in his shoes. When somebody else gets in trouble, could be a young person, could be an older person. Try putting yourself in his shoes. Consideration. Considering other people. Considering their troubles. Considering their disappointments and frustrations in life. What about the gift of concession? Sometimes when you think you're right, and you're going to it with maybe a friend, there could be a dispute. But God has given you the gift right at the right time when things seem to be going out of whack to say, I'm sorry, you're right and I'm wrong. That's a good gift to have. What about the gift of gratitude? The gift of gratitude. Never forgetting to say thanks. Never forgetting to say thank you for whatever it is that somebody does. And never failing to mean it. You say, I know times when I've said thank you and I really didn't mean it. Well, I believe God gives us a spiritual gift to be grateful. To be grateful to God. And never forget to say thank you. What about the gift of attention? You have it right now. When someone else is speaking, listening attentively. But you know there are some people who can't do that, right? They have a problem listening attentively. When you're in a group of people and everybody wants to talk, I'm sure it's the prayer of your heart sometimes that the rest of them, or maybe yourself, all of them, could have the gift of attention. And what about the gift of inspiration? Inspiring people. Don't you love to do that? Don't you like to see other people start things and get things going for God's glory? Planting seeds of courage. Seeds of courage and action in other people's breasts. God has given that gift to people. I'm sure you've been encouraged. I'm sure you've been patted on the back and said, that's a good job. You go ahead and do it. Do it for God's glory. I'm sure that you can think of people who have that gift, who put their arms around you, who've given you an opportunity. They've been an inspiration to you, not only what they've done like that, but also because they are there. Because they do it, they've inspired you. And the gift of your personal presence. When people are sick. Judy called me last night and from Current, and she was talking a little bit, and she said, do you hear that Delano used to work with Freddie? You remember Frankie Durham? His son Delano. Got in an accident a couple of years ago and was in hospital for a while, came back. He worked here in the roads, doing the water system and other things. But Delano, in the last 2 weeks, has been near death's door because when that accident happened, it did something to his intestines that came up. They said it was coming out of his throat or something. They took off over 80% of his intestines. And when they tied it back together, it has broken loose. There's a hole in it. And Judy said, we went by his bed. And she talked about some of the things that was happening there in Princess Margaret Hospital around Delano's bed. But she said, Derek prayed with him, and tears came in his eyes. I know that feeling. I know that scene, because that's been repeated many times. But that is a gift. God doesn't give that gift, nor any of these gifts, to every person. But if you have that gift, that you can go into a sick person's room, somebody who's troubled, and bring joy into their heart, even though there are tears flowing, there may be tears of joy. Expressing sympathy. Expressing sympathy. Also, congratulations. We've seen many people come, and we didn't expect, and don't even expect everybody here to come. Don't think I'm saying this because of that, but so many people have come to see our little babies. That's a good thing. The church congratulated them. Brother Gordon did it one evening here. Others have done it. It's good to congratulate people when something has happened good in their life. You have to think of good things and bad things. And we need to resolve to let these gifts be operative in our lives day by day, all through the year. Lord, I want to have the gift of consideration. Lord, show me if that's the gift that I have, Lord, because I want to be doing that which is going to bring glory to you. Lord, I want to, if I have the gift of concession, so that I can just, at the right time, say, when I think I'm right, say I'm wrong. Oh, Lord, the gift of gratitude. All of us ought to have that, right? Surely the Lord must have given all of us the gift of gratitude. Surely. Surely He must have given. Oh, I must be wrong in saying, we don't have all of these gifts. Something must be wrong with that. Surely, is there any reason why every creature on this earth ought not have the gift of gratitude? I mean, as we come to this season of the year, and even though we're caught up in so many things that are thrown at us commercially, yet there is so much to be appreciative to God for the fact that God gave a gift of His Son, the Lord Jesus Christ. And the gift of attention. And the gift of inspiration. And the gift of just being able to go and be with somebody when they're sick, when they're down, when they're cast down, when they're hurting. I believe that we ought to pray that God would help us to see what our gifts are. They're appointed by God. Apportioned by God. But then they are accountable to God. They're accountable. Here's what he says in verse 10. Minister to one another as good stewards of the manifold grace of God. Nobody can receive that endowment of a gift and say that this is mine, I can do what I want with it. That's not what that verse is saying. That verse says, minister the gift. You've received it, Luton Neely, you minister it. Know what your gift is and minister that gift. God has given these gifts to His church. And God wants His church to benefit from every member who is in the church. We are not members of the church, His body, not members of a local church, that we might only benefit. There are manifold benefits by belonging to a local church. We believe, Tom, Frank, myself, Hesketh, Ed, all of our servants of God believe strongly in the local church. We believe strongly in the local church. And we believe that every person ought to belong to a local church. And so God has given these gifts to the local church that they might be His goods that are given to the individual members that will strengthen them, that will help them through all the difficulties and all of the good times and bad times in life. Each of us, he says, shall give account of himself to God. And so we must be accountable. We must be accountable in three ways. Number one, we must ask this question. Was I faithful with my endowment. He says, who then is that faithful and wise steward, that servant whom his master will find so doing when he comes? So Peter's telling them, the Lord is at hand. He's coming soon. You're going to lose opportunities, but also don't you want the Lord to find you busy using the talent that He's given you? Doing what you can with what God has given you when He comes. Peter is saying, He's coming. He's coming, Christians. When He comes, you better know what your gift is. You better be doing it. You better be glorifying Him. When He comes, there's nothing better to be doing than glorifying Him with our lives. Number two, the question, was I efficient with my endowment? Was I efficient? Here's what he says, minister to one another as good stewards, as efficient stewards, not wasting the gift, not using it out of selfishness. I'll use it in who I want to. And so it says that I must be then led and controlled by the Holy Spirit. So that the Holy Spirit leads me into the areas that He wants me to be led into. And number three, was I blameless with my endowment? Titus 1:7 says this, for a bishop must be blameless as a steward of God. A bishop must be blameless as a steward of God. Now, I don't know what your gift is. Maybe you're a one who leads people. Maybe you're one of the sisters who lead people. As a Sunday school class, he says you must be faithful. You must be efficient. And you must be blameless as a steward. I read a story about a young man who applied for a job as a farmhand. Well, the farmer asked him for his qualification. He said, I can sleep when the winds blow. I can sleep when the winds blow. That's pretty good. And the farmer had a puzzled look on his face, but, you know, he looked at the guy and he had a liking for the young man, and so he hired him. A few days later, the farmer and his wife were fast asleep one night, and all of a sudden they were wakened. The winds were blowing and the storm was down. They got up very quickly, began to check things out to see if everything was secure. Well, they found that the shutters on the farmhouse, they had been securely fastened. They found a good supply of logs that had been set next to the fireplace. The farm implements had been placed in the storage shed, safe from the elements. The tractor had been moved into the garage. The barn had been properly locked. All was well. All was well. Even the animals were calm. And it was only then. It was then that the farmer grasped the meaning that young man spoke. I can sleep when the winds blow. Because the farmhand had performed his work loyally, faithfully, when the skies were clear. And so it is with us, beloved. Let us be faithful to God, regardless of what the circumstances may be. But secondly, the steward's spiritual employment. Not only his endowment, it says, let him speak as of the oracles of God. Let him do it as with the ability which God supplies. It says it is quite clear from these words that the Christian steward has a twofold employment. Number one, to speak the word of God. Isn't that what he says? Let him speak as of the oracles of God. Now, I get that word oracle coming from the Old Testament as well. A name I used talking about a counselor on Sunday evening was Ahithophel. And the Word of God says that when he spoke to David, he spoke as of the oracles of God. His words were just like it came out of the mouth of God. Because that's where he received the instruction. And so here we have the term again. If any man speak, let him speak the Word of God. How is he to speak it? Let him speak it as it's the very Word of God. And the second thing that he tells us in regard to a steward is that he's to support the work of God. If anyone ministers, let him do it as with the ability which God supplies. And he's not talking about in that sense, the ministry of speaking the word. He said that in the first instance. Preaching and praying and presenting the word of God as it is in truth. Teaching the word of God. Seeing that the people understand the word of God. Having a burden for the word of God. The Apostle Paul said, "For who I preach the gospel, I have nothing to boast of. For necessity is laid upon me, yes, woe is me if I don't preach the gospel." That's what Paul said. But it's to support the work of God also. When David Hume, he was an infidel. He was charged with inconsistency. As he went to listen to John Brown. John Brown was a godly Scottish minister. But when he was charged, his reply was this: "I don't believe all that this godly minister says, but he does. He does. And once a week, I like to hear a man who believes what he says. Once a week, I like to hear a man who believes what he says. Why, whatever I think, the man preaches as though he thought the Lord Jesus was at his elbow." He says, "I want to hear a man once a week who believes what he says." There's a lot of people out there, beloved. They're saying it on television, on satellite. They're saying it on the streets. And you don't know sometimes who you can believe. But God is looking for men who will preach the word of God and believe what they preach. Preach the gospel. And when people hear it, it's as if it was the oracle of God. One of the thrills I had this past week was to be able to preach here on Sunday evening, have it recorded, go home, take that tape, make another tape,